That the host wanted me to unmute. Okay, so the one closest to you is yours, the one furthest away is mine.
Okay.
Jana? Sorry, everyone. There's some confusion as to, the mic says it's not muted, but it's acting like it's muted. So Bill, if you, Jana, we're not hearing anything that you're saying. The mic says it's, I can hear you now.
Okay.
So do you mind starting over? Because we couldn't hear anything you were saying. Sorry.
Good morning. Welcome to Zion. We're going to take just a minute to turn down the volume. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm rejoicing that other people are in the sanctuary this morning. Bill and I are not alone, and it's just a completely different feeling to have a few people here helping us serve communion this morning. And thank you, Kristen and Karen, for your live prelude music. As we come together today, we're remembering communion. This is World Communion Sunday, so I want to remind you to have close by some juice and bread or a cracker that you can participate with us later in the service. Also, check your bulletin for announcements. Don't forget that next Sunday will be when we can stop by the church for a cinnamon roll and to drop off our school kit supplies or coins for My Coins Count and any other donations that you would like to bring to support Mennonite Central Committee. That will be next Sunday. Hear these words for our call to worship. Come, people of God, come and hear the teachings of God. Let us come with open hearts and minds, ready to listen and obey. God's teachings are perfect and sure, right and true. We desire to live in the way of Jesus. Let us come with thanksgiving and joy. Let us worship this God who gives us wisdom, guidance, and truth. Would you pray with me? Lord, in union and communion with each other, we come gathered as your body today. And we confess our fumblings and failures in accomplishing unity as we set aside yet another day to remind ourselves of this task. On this Sunday, World Communion, give us eyes to recognize your reflection in the eyes of Christians everywhere. Give us a mind to accept and celebrate our differences. Give us a heart big enough to love your children everywhere. Thank you, Lord, for setting a table with space enough for all of us. Amen. We're going to join in the song Here in This Place. Now join me in an invitation to the table as we celebrate together World Communion Sunday. Friends, this is a joyful feast of unity. Christ has gathered his people around the earth to commune at this table. Across political lines and economic lines, in places of powerfully protected affluence, and among the poorest of the poor, we share a meal, remembering and celebrating the one who proved shalom is possible. And so, come. Come from the east and come from the west, from the north and from the south. Come. Come with your doubts. Come with your hopes. Come with your inadequacies and with your strengths. Come, for this is a table where all in it are invited and all are welcome.
Good morning. Let us begin by hearing a little about what communion, known as World Communion Sunday, represents to us as followers of Jesus. We believe the Lord's Supper is a sign by which the church thankfully remembers the new covenant, which Jesus established by his death. In this communion, the members of the church renew our covenant with God and with each other. As one body, we participate in the life of Jesus Christ, given for redemption of humankind. Thus, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's Supper points to Jesus Christ, whose body was given for us and whose shed blood established the new covenant. In sharing the bread and cup, each believer remembers the death of Jesus and God's act of deliverance in the past and present for the forgiveness of sins and for God's continuing grace in our lives. The supper represents the presence of the risen Christ in the church. As we partake of the communion of the bread and cup, the gathered body of believers shares in the body and blood of Christ and recognizes again that its life is sustained by Christ, the bread of life. Remembering how Jesus laid down his life for his friends, we, his followers, recommit ourselves to the way of the cross. Confessing our sins to one another and receiving forgiveness, we are to come as one body to the table of the Lord. There we renew our baptismal covenant with God and each other and recognize our unity with all believers everywhere in all times. All are invited to the Lord's table who have been baptized into the community of faith, are living at peace with God and with their brothers and sisters in the faith, and are willing to be accountable in their congregation. Celebrating the Lord's Supper in this manner, the church looks forward in joy and hope to the feast of the redeemed with Christ in the age to come.
I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you. This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Jesus, we remember your death and the sacrifice that you made for us. Help us to follow the way of your cross and renew our covenant with you and with each other. Amen. Jesus took the bread and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take now and eat.
Our hearts in grateful remembrance of your life, death, and also said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Take now and drink."
Okay, kids, get ready. Bonnie is going to share a story this morning for the children.
Good morning, Zion kids. It's so good to see you again. Today, Pastor Bill is going to be talking about patience in the journey. And sometimes we have a journey like Mary talked about last week, where she had her suitcase already packed, and you might be going on a journey to Drift Creek Camp, and you know when you're going to get there, and it doesn't take very long. It's a short journey. Sometimes we're on a different kind of a journey. We're on a journey right now with COVID-19. We have to wear masks, and we can't see our friends, and some of us are doing Zoom school where we're online for school and things like that. We don't know when this journey is going to end. And it's hard to be patient when we don't know when the journey is going to end. And sometimes it's really exciting to think about a journey, like when we think about when Christmas is going to come and how many more days it is until Christmas and the journey until we get to Christmas. And we will be looking at Christmas time coming up here soon too. When I see things in the store now, I see Halloween stuff and I see Christmas stuff already. So there's lots of different kinds of journeys. Some of them we don't have to be very patient for, but a lot of our journeys that we're on, we have to be patient and we have to wait and wonder and see what happens. So as you think about the different things that you're doing, make sure that you remember to be patient in what you're doing. We will see you later.
Thank you, Vonnie. I'll be reading our scripture text for this morning from James 5, verses 7 through 12. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my beloved, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Bill, would you come and share with us this morning?
Right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us this morning. I would like to take a poll by show of hands. How many of you noticed something up front this morning that looks a bit unusual? Has anybody noted something up front that's a bit unusual? Why is there a bottle of ketchup on the pulpit this morning? I would wonder. So, do you all remember the commercial that portrayed this variety of ketchup to come out of the bottle very slowly? And we were to wait in anticipation of what would arrive when we served that ketchup from that bottle. Now, interestingly, we've done away with glass bottles for the most part and now have plastic bottles. And so, when I use this ketchup, I'm not so patient and anticipating. I squeeze this thing, do I get all the ketchup out of it? So in that, the sermon this morning is for me, because this is about having patience, waiting, anticipating what is to come. And as we are enjoying our lives, serving God, being part of the body of Christ, how do we recognize this waiting, this patience, and in this time, also persevering? So that's what we're going to look at this morning as we continue in the book of James. We are almost done the book of James. Next Sunday will be our last Sunday in the book of James. Some of you might be celebrating, finally we get done with this book. Maybe it seems like we've been in this book a long time. It's a short book. Now, remember, we had a few interruptions along the way. Some Sundays we were in other places and not in the James text. But certainly this has been a journey that I always enjoy in going through the book of James. So in thinking about patience for the journey, having the capacity to wait upon the Lord in such a way that we don't get upset or grumpy. That's pretty much what James is talking about in this text. So that's what we're looking at this morning. What I do want to note is we did not look at James verse James chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. And I don't want to just skip that and say, well, I don't want to deal with that topic. Again, James picks up this topic of money and the importance of money. And I want to just note that that is a section of scripture that's in between last Sunday's sermon about boasting and planning of what we're supposed to do as Christians and thinking ahead, and then also this one in patience. And I think James did that very intentionally, because if we think about money and how we understand money and use money or wish for more money, sometimes that leads us, or me, to being impatient. And so in chapter 5, verse 1, James says, "Listen, you rich people." And that is the key in that paragraph, is he is talking to people that have their identity wrapped up in wealth, money, things they have. And James challenges that thinking, as he's been doing throughout the book of James, that it's not just about our behavior, but it's also about our belief and that understanding of faith, and that our identity is not wrapped up in the stuff we have. For if it is, then we would end up being similar to what we find in verse 4, when James says, "Look, the wages you failed to pay, the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you." We would do things that are not congruent to the understanding of faith that James has. So it's, again, this connection to our belief, our behavior, and part of what we've been talking about all along is beyond. And the beyond piece of that as well, in the fact that how I reflect my identity as being in Christ, not in wealth, impacts those that are around me, those that are around us as the people of God, the body of Christ. So I think that's an important picture there that James gives us in recognizing that our identity is not in our riches and our wealth, but it is in about our faith. But then he says, be patient. Some have learned that it's very risky prayer to pray for patience, because then God brings all kinds of opportunities into our lives that challenge our patience. But we can practice patience. And if we are going to attempt or think about practicing patience, whether it's, you know, waiting for the ketchup to come out of the bottle, maybe it's waiting for the line to go faster, maybe it's waiting for this ongoing impact of COVID-19 to just be done. Whatever it is, I see an important piece here in regards to James' perspective on understanding patience. If we are to be a patient people, then we need to have three things that I see here that James is talking about. First, we need to keep our eye, our focus on the goal. In verse 7, James says, be patient until the Lord's coming. There is a goal that we, on this journey that we're headed towards, and James reminds us it's the Lord's coming. We are waiting for the harvest. Now, it's interesting that we are in the days of harvest for those that are farmers in agriculture. I'm learning all kinds of things about hazelnuts and the harvest of hazelnuts. This is all new to me. So I've been intrigued by these machines that go through and harvest the hazelnuts. If you've never seen that, you must not live around here. So in thinking about the harvest time, that is a time that is coming, that Jesus and his return, the work of the harvest is the Lord's work. It's God at work. And what you and I are being called to is on this journey to continue to sow the seeds of faith, to share with others our understanding and beliefs about who God is and who God has created us to be as people. And in the midst of that, talking about and sharing with one another in regards to our relationship with Jesus and what that means to you and I. So the goal is going to be key in any time that we are understanding patience or perseverance. So we have to keep an eye on the goal. What is it that we want to get to? And then secondly, in verse 8, is this phrase, the Lord's coming is near. And I really think about that as the perspective. The goal is that the Lord is coming. The perspective is that it's soon, that there's going to be a time that isn't that far away. If I know that, if I can sense that it's not going to be much longer, then it seems easier to be able to be patient and to wait for that which God has for us. And I think James is talking here, again, not just about the fact that we have this goal, the Lord is returning, but in each part of our lives, there are times when things are in front of us, things that we're waiting on, looking forward to. All of that is a part of our growth and understanding of this goal and being part of the God's sowing of the seeds. And then this perspective of that it isn't that far away. I want to read from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, where Paul is talking about the day. And he says, do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So we know the goal, the perspective is that the Lord's coming is near, it's soon, and the encouragement then from James and from Paul is to stay on course to what God has for us, even in the midst of times of waiting. We can hang on if we know it's going to be just a little bit longer. One of the examples I have for this is if you call customer service of any company, it seems like these days, they put you in this holding area. It's an electronic holding area. And there you wait. And sometimes they'll give you a time. We'll be with you in 5 minutes. Or you're number three in the waiting room. And that kind of helps us to be okay. I know I'm number three. It might be 5, 10 minutes. I can wait then. Because I'm there for some reason, that's that goal again, and just knowing it's not going to be that long. Back when we used to go to the doctor, before COVID, we had these rooms built specifically in doctor's offices for waiting, the waiting room. Just to, again, to think about, we're there for a reason. And we know as we, whether it's sitting in a literal waiting room or we're on the phone or we're online with chatting, whatever it might be, to know, okay, it's just going to be a little bit, then I can hang on. With Jesus, it's near, it's soon. And you might think, well, the church has been saying that Jesus is returning soon for a very long time, hundreds of years, thousands of years. What's up with that? He's not here yet. Well, think about it in the terms of eternity. In the time span of eternity, waiting 100 years, 1,000 years is still just a little bit longer. And in this patience for the journey, it's not just about the goal and the perspective, but it's also about our attitude. And this is a section in James that I'd sooner it not be there. Because I'll tell you, for me, I get a little grumpy. And James says the attitude in verse 9 is what he's talking about is don't do that. Don't grumble. Don't get grumpy with each other. Don't get frustrated in this. Understand that this is part of faith. And he goes on and he says, be patient, stand firm. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So the understanding here then is my attitude, how I engage in working with people as we are on this journey, as we are being patient with one another, my attitude towards others is key and is important to what God is doing in and through me and in and through us as a church. These are important attitudes that you and I must carry with us in the midst of being patient, of waiting, of persevering. And James points to the prophets of old. And he's going to say, you know, look at the prophets. They suffered and they endured and they stayed the course. Was it easy? Absolutely not. It was not easy for the prophets. Is it easy for you and I? No, it's not easy. God didn't promise that it would be easy, but he does promise he will be with us and he will continue to be with us. And James points to the Old Testament story of Job. And I just want to step into Job real quickly here and thinking about this understanding of patience, but also of perseverance. Job was not an overly patient person. As I read Job, I think, man, this guy is not patient. He wants to get through this and get done with it, and he's kind of angry and upset. So in Job chapter 1 is kind of the setting of the scene for what is going to take place in Job's life. We're just going to step into this. Chapter 1, verse 6, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was with them, and God says to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan talks about the facts that he's been roaming around the earth back and forth. And the Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? This is the guy on earth. There's no one like him. He's blameless. He's upright. He's a man who fears God and shuns evil. And Satan replies and he says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and hold everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, his flocks and his herds and his family. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So the Lord says to Satan, very well, that everything he has is in your power, but do not lay a hand on himself. Do not put him to death or allow him to die. And Satan goes out from the presence of the Lord. So that's kind of the setup, that Job now is being given kind of allowing, God's allowing Satan to do whatever he wants to Job. And it's tough. You read this story in Job, what happens to Job in one day? Job, his sons and daughters were feasting and drinking. His family was together. They were having a great time, a great party. And suddenly there's this attack. And a servant escapes from the attack and he gets to Job and he says, Job, all these enemies have put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while that guy was still speaking, another guy comes and he says, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who escaped. And while that guy's talking, another guy comes running in and he says, the Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on the camels and made off with them. They put your servants to death, and I'm the only one who escaped. And while he was still talking, another guy comes. And that guy says, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in and destroyed everything. And the house came crumbling down, and it crushed and killed everyone present there, and I'm the only one to escape. Now that is a tough day. And for Job to think about all of the loss and grief that he would have to bear and encounter for the rest of his life. And so just to think about, boy, if that's the case, what does Job do with that? And we read through then in the rest of the story of Job about just how he is trying to encounter and deal with and think about all that has happened to him. He has these 3 friends that come and try to give him, quote, words of encouragement, words of instruction. And most probably all of what they are saying to him is not helpful, for it is not what Job needs. It is not giving Job comfort in any way. So all of Job is about trying to understand this calamity upon his life. And I would say there is a lack of patience in Job based on some of his what he says in response to his friends and in response to God. Chapter 3 is really evidence of Job as he begins to grapple with all this loss. And I'm there with Job. I would not be patient at all. I would be angry. I would be upset. And he gets to a point in chapter 3. If we look at verse 26, he says, I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. And has there ever been a time in your life where you've gotten to that point? There's no peace. There's no rest. It's just complete turmoil. And in that I just want to get this over with kind of feeling. I've experienced that. And I'll tell you, most of the time when I'm experiencing that kind of loss, that kind of turmoil, that kind of upset, I am completely missing whatever it is God wants to show me, because I'm so focused on myself. I'm focused on that pain, on that agony, and that inward suffering. Job chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, this is Job's response to his friends sharing with him. He says, "Doubtless you're the only people who matter, and wisdom will die with you." Boy, that could almost be a favorite scripture for me sometimes in response to some of the things that I've been challenged with in life. And then he goes on, "I have mind as well as you, don't you know? I'm not inferior to you. Who does not know all these things?" That frustration, again, to see Job wasn't just gifted with patience and being able to bear all these things without any feeling or frustration or agony. He certainly had that agony. Chapter 16, again, so in this response, Job replies, "I've heard many things like these. You are miserable comforters, all of you. Will your long-winded speeches never end? What ails you that keeps you arguing?" So, all right. Job was a person. He felt all these feelings, similar to what I could feel, maybe perhaps what you have felt. How does this qualify him then to be a person who James talks about in reference to perseverance and patience? Well, it may not be that he was patient, but he persevered. We see in chapter 1, verse 20, Job's response to all this loss. He gets up, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground in worship. And that is the key for Job. All this going on, he falls to the ground in worship. And he says this, he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Perseverance. So there may have been lack of patience on Job's part, but he certainly is a person, an illustration, an understanding of perseverance to continuing on and not cursing God, not giving up. Even his wife's response to him, with this question in chapter 2, his wife says to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." And he replies, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" And that's that perspective. So Job having that goal, worshiping God, the perspective, who are we to recognize or to judge, but to understand God is gracious towards us, and having that ongoing sense then of perseverance, of continuing on, of moving forward. And I like that James uses Job as this example, because Job really messed it up. He got angry. He got upset. But Job was feeling all that loss, all that grief, and God doesn't bail out on him. He doesn't change his promises towards him. He continues with him. And when you and I are going through whatever it is that God has for us, we need to remember that it's not about God abandoning us. It's not about God making our lives miserable, but it's about God being with us in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. James chapter 5, verse 11 says, "The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." And that is the connection towards our faith, towards our belief in Jesus. Because it's not that we're perfect. It's not that we always are going to have the focus on the goal and have the perspective in mind and have this great attitude. In fact, a lot of the time, we're not going to have that. We're going to miss it. I'm missing it all the time. And when I see that I'm missing it, I back up and I say to God, "I really blew it. Forgive me for that." And I know that God will, because he's full of compassion and mercy. And that is that gift that God has given to us in salvation through this relationship with Jesus. And that is what I see in this understanding of James and calling us to our identity, who we are in Christ. Staying on course with plans that involve God in our plans, not getting wrapped up in worldly things, money, position, but staying focused on the goal with this perspective and attitude of being in this together, recognizing the need for forgiveness, but also recognizing the need to work together with one another as the body of Christ. And we need to extend that compassion and mercy to one another, and so that our lives can have the integrity, that our lives can have that which God has given us to be able to share in living with one another. When we disagree with one another, when we think differently, when we think that, you know, I'm right and you're wrong, it's in those times that the opportunity of God's grace, mercy, compassion needs to shine through in us and through us. James just sticks in here in chapter 5, this verse 12. It feels like he's just kind of sticking this in. It doesn't really fit, but I think it does fit, because James 5:12 says that our yes is to be yes and our no is to be no. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. You don't need to swear by anything. You don't need to take oath. You just need to be a person who has integrity, a person who continues to live your life with integrity. And that's, I think, really flows in with what James is trying to communicate here. To be patient in suffering, to have that perseverance, and in the midst of that, just to continue to walk in that integrity and not be getting off track, sabotaged, dismayed, pushed away, but allowing God to work in and through us. And it's not easy. And there are times when I have completely missed it. But I'm going to keep working at it. And I hope you will too, as God continues to be compassionate and merciful towards us. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to be present in this place. God, we join together this morning in this act of communion, in which we recognize our connection to you, to one another as the body of Christ. May our faith continue to build in us so that we can be patient on this journey, and that our beliefs will reflect your learnings and teachings in our lives through your scripture, through your spirit, and may our behavior reflect our beliefs, and may what we do, how we act, who we talk to, what we say, may this go beyond all that we could think or imagine to bring honor and glory to you. Amen.
Please sing with me. I'll wait till the words come up on your screen. They that wait upon the Lord. And there's a second verse that's going to be kind of new for us, so we're going to try it, and then we'll repeat the first one again. They that wait upon the Lord.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Keep me humble myself and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed and my eyes on thee. Help me be on this earth what you want me to be. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord.
Thank you to those that make it possible for us to meet on Zoom every Sunday. I appreciate the Hockman Chup family, Kevin, Brandon, Cynthia, who helped us in the beginning get accustomed to doing Zoom church. And I want to thank Stan and Seth Gingrich, who have taken turns being our Zoom techs on Sunday. I appreciate it, and this is a different way of doing church, we know, but it's working, and it's nice to see you, to connect with each other. I want to just say, please stay connected with us, with each other, as we continue to figure out how to be together as a congregation. I want to send you with this blessing. The blessing of God, the shalom of God, the wildness and the warmth of God be among us, be between us, now and always. The divine spirit dwells in us. Thanks be to God. Go in peace, and please stay on for a few moments to unmute yourselves and say hello.
As Jenna said, feel free to unmute yourself, and in a couple minutes, we'll start the breakout rooms.
Hello, Alexandra and Justin. Who is that baby sitting on Justin's lap there?
Well, this is Tucker.
Yeah. He is a little jealous that everyone else gets to be up here but him, so.
Are you all moved in?
Yes, we are.
We're not all unpacked, but we are moved in.
Welcome. Are you in Hubbard now?
We are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Indeed.
Yes, finally. But of course, COVID comes, and so now we have to do digitally, but we would have been at the church more often.
I think many of us miss that, being at the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we still find our ways. We still were able to do communion this morning.
Yes.
Luke, I like what you did with Eli's hair there during the service. I thought that was great.
Yep. What did you do with Eli's hair? Stir it up?
Oh, he had Eli's hair all bandaged. It was. Kelsey was working on Liesl's hair, so Eli wanted his done.
Exactly what happened.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and set up the breakout rooms now. So if you want to stay, please stay on. And if not, feel free to say goodbye.
People are saying goodbye. I think it's